Hey, my name's Jamie Poisson, and I'm the host of Front Burner. It's the CBC's daily news podcast. And every day, we're discussing the big events and fault lines shaping Canada and the world. Politics, economics, social movements, you name it. Sometimes we even talk about really fun stuff, like the enduring relevance of Lord of the Rings. You can hear Front Burner on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hey guys, Mark here. Before we start the show, I need to give you some very important info. As you know, we've been working toward it all season long, writing and planning and acting and editing. And now our horror movie, Close and Lock the Patio Door, is finished. I mean, as finished as it can be. Is art ever really finished? You can watch it right now. In fact, you should watch it right now because we're about to talk about the finished product and we don't want to spoil anything for you. Here's how to watch it. Go to patiodoormovie.com. That's all one word. patiodoormovie.com. There's also a link in the show notes of this episode. The film is about 10 minutes long, so pause the show, go watch the movie, and come right back. Okay, did you watch it? What'd you think? Let's start the show! Maddie Ryan and I are talking about the end of the season with our producers Dave and Chris, and I'm getting a little emotional.
Have you all watched the latest?
Yes!
So, the latest, the biggest change was...
Are you going to cry?
Yeah, it sounds like you're crying.
Is my voice really weird? Sorry. I think
it just sounded like you're about to cry.
The biggest change...
Did you get an emotional text? What happened?
No, I'm sorry. Not really.
I'm just choking on a lozenge.
And then I asked Emmett to kind of change up some of the score again.
Mark's on an episode of Hot Ones.
Three comedians, 10 experts, one dark exploration of our deepest fears, a short, haunting script, a couple of medical emergencies, and a mad dash to the finish line. This season, we set out to make a short horror film. We had to write, direct, and star in it. And, well, we just made it under the wire. It's Let's Make a Horror. Right now, we're getting together to talk about our finished horror movie, Close and Lock the Patio Door.
Like, it's hard to separate what we've done and then what we've changed and what we've iterated on and all of that. Like, it's really hard. But if we could take a step back and try to look at it objectively and dispassionately, what do you think we just watched and how do you think it is?
I think it's really good.
I think it's pretty good.
I think it's like an interesting movie. There was parts I laughed out loud at, but I can't tell because I'm not, you know, I can't watch this movie anymore as a movie. Like, I've watched it so many times and now all I'm focused on is like things I wish I'd done as an actor.
Mm.
So it's really hard to be like, okay, what's this cut like overall? Mm-hmm. But I think it's in a good place. There's some things with Emmett's addition of the music that have become scary to me, which I thought was like really interesting. Emmett has a really good score, and Mark and Emmett got in a really great place as far as like how to support the story. And there's like that one specific example, that last scene where Maddie's like, "Come on, let me in." Just with the addition of the music, like now it's like kind of unsettling.
Do you want a cup of tea or something?
No, thank you. I'm leaving.
Oh, you can't leave. Let me come in, make a cup of tea. We'll talk about it.
Sure, fine.
And kind of scary and like just offering the support that wasn't there in the initial cut. So I found that very exciting. And I also found out how interesting, how conditioned I am, you know what I mean, to need music to watch a movie. Like, it's just like...
Yeah.
I need the melodrama. I need the music to support what's going on. So I found that really interesting.
One thing that kept coming up while working on it, and this actually ties into a thing that I would not stop talking about during the season about what scares me,
being a telephone ringing in another room. but it honestly has come up in this film. And I think the scariest part, the most unsettling part for me, and a part that I kept going back to and wanting to kind of like pull out from, is when Ryan wakes up, Hugo wakes up from the tapping on the window.
That's terrifying.
And it's just quiet. And that was like discovered. Like we like this tapping thing. And that part is so unsettling to me. I think the woody woodpile.
It's so funny.
Jump scare. I don't think it quite got there as a scare. And Emmett did a really great job of bringing us there with the music and the bear sprays there. Like I think all the ingredients were there.
I find it cute. He's like a little flower. Like the wood is perfectly.
I think it's cute.
But maybe that's the point, right? It's like the deflation.
But he's not
of
supposed to be scary. The dog is supposed to be is the misdirect. Yeah, and we're scared, and then it's just a little dog.
That's right.
Yeah. I wanted it to be a bit of a more of a jump when Ryan jumps, when Hugo jumps, when the woodpile crashes, and I don't think.
Oh, I see.
Right. Okay. I didn't even know that was a scare.
Well, yeah, that's. That's already a problem.
Even when we were writing it, I didn't know that it was a scare. I feel like, of course, it's impossible to be in what's it called?
Impartial.
What did you call it? I can't be really impartial because it has improved so much from the rough cut that I'm so delighted with it because it's just so, and it's so cool. And like the biggest lessons for me this year have been like what you can do in post and what can happen. And I wish someone had told us that a horror movie is literally just music. I was like, this is just a scary music that makes your heart beat. Like, this is completely different. But then with the additional music and cuts, we just got to like get to see Ryan be a great actor. And that was my favorite part of it. And like that, when he looks in the mirror, that's a very, very, very effective, regretful face that I think about all the time still, you know? And, you know, I think the end is like quite campy and fun kind of campy scary. And I sometimes wish that the rest of it was as elevated as that.
Right.
But still, I think we did better than I thought we were going to do.
Totally.
Personally.
I agree.
And also I realized that, like, I think that, like, I'm helpful in the process of the three things we've made. I did not help this time. I cannot help. I did not help. Don't disagree with me. Every instinct I had was the opposite. I do not want to make horror, and I will never do it ever again. I don't need to. I don't get it.
Well, that's great. I want to go around because I was bit so hard by the bug. I want to do another horror movie immediately.
That's awesome.
I want to do one right now. Like, I want to do, and I
have fun.
And I want to talk about making this one. I want to talk about that. Would you act in one though, Maddie?
Yes. If you wanted me to, I didn't really feel like I was that effective as an actor.
See,
either.
That's, but I mean, are you so refusing the call? That's why you have to be in horror movie.
I think you would be. I think you would actually be because I thought you were great in the movie, and
I thought you were fantastic.
Are you that against that? Not. I know you're not like putting your stake in the ground, but I wonder. Yeah, would you act in one? Maybe.
I would act in anything you guys are making, of course.
Oh, that's nice.
But I think you could do better.
Can't. I only act with my friends.
You could do better.
I want to make this short. I want to develop it as a feature, just idea. And then I also want to shoot another short horror film. I would love to do that.
What is the feature idea? Please expand on that.
I don't know. I mean, I think I was talking to Chris Kelly, our producer. I was talking to him at one point about, because we were on a phone just about one of the edits, and Chris was like, well, it kind of doesn't, like Maddie's character now doesn't quite make sense as being the monster. Like we were talking about her character's path. And I was like, that's fine. I don't care because I think the feature version, there's so much to go with that. All these like aspects of Hugo's cabin life and like, you know, like
conjuring.
Projections
who
of his feelings.
He's conjuring and projections.
Yeah, who he's
yes.
conjuring up and like some are real and some are not. But it's, you know, and then my first bad idea is that it is a monster. That it's an actual monster. It's not just
a shape-shifting monster.
Yeah, it's a shape-shifting monster that feeds on
you know, insecurities and your
feeds
your
on people
negative
who,
feelings
who rent Airbnbs.
Yeah, it's a well. I mean, Ryan, yeah, you're coming up with a new different idea, and I think that's valid.
So I'm just trying to.
It's an empty homes tax monster.
Thank you. It's about zoning.
But I think that we could, you know, because now we have the proof of concept, you know, and then we make
it's that. Like Maddie once, I think you said that on set, it's like this is like the cold open of the if it was an episode of like some kind of, you know, what do you call
this monster, like he just killed Ryan this time, but then yeah, there's more.
And then and then the FBI the FBI agents who are always there are like, what killed this guy? X-Files. That's right.
It's a great cold open because it makes Ryan or Drew Barrymore.
So I actually am the monster in this movie. Mm-hmm. Me still not knowing.
You're the lure, and then the monster turns into them.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome.
Cool. Have fun.
I love you guys, and I will visit you on set. I never want to watch another horror movie again. I never want to talk about it. Everyone wants to tell me their favorite horror movies. Now I hate it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to talk about it.
Everyone wants to tell you their horror movies. You're cursed.
And they go, did you ever like the genre? I go, absolutely not. I didn't like it at all.
That's great.
But I do like movie making.
I also, maybe we're not here in the discussion yet, but I had so much fun doing it.
I loved it
on that weekend. Yeah. I mean,
I regret nothing about
it. I wish we had more time.
Exactly. Yeah. Or I kind of wish that we did it over two weekends. Arbitrary, I know. But like, imagine us getting to see some dailies.
Yeah.
Totally. You know, in a world where we could be like, oh.
It would have been so.
Okay, let's do it again.
So helpful to like, yeah.
I wish I had been less, because for viewers, I had to fly in red eye to get there and then drive up and then fly back. So I was like, and then go back to work. So I was a little bit like conserving energy and like did sleep for 3 or 4 hours.
We had all these schedule and deadline things foisted upon us just because it was for a podcast. Yeah. And, you know, like it wasn't like this wasn't our dream, you know, scenario to make a movie. And I think that was kind of part of the.
Which is another crazy reason that it turned out the way it did.
Like it just had to happen in that weekend. It's just like that was the only option. Your film must be created in this weekend, which is kind of beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, imagine if we'd had like a day booked at that Airbnb the following week and we were like, that's for reshoots. We would have had too much rope though.
We would have tried to reshoot the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I don't think we would have. I think we would have just made a monster, like an actual like hairy monster of some kind, which would have been a very different movie. So, and less about self-sabotage, which is obviously what the movie's about. So.
Interesting.
And but it's such a good lesson. It's like, I don't think that this movie is like any great shakes, but it did turn into something. And it's such a great lesson on like, do it from beginning to end.
Do it.
Here's
do
what
it.
You've done. Now do that the best.
Yeah.
And here, like, and just see it to the finish, because it was never going to be amazing. Like, not to just like bury ourselves in like self, like
no,
we're terrible.
Agree.
But like, it was our first shot. It was a really weird process.
But there was like a low percentage. It was like, there was like.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's say
there's
that.
Still like a strong, like 10 to 15% chance, like betting wise, odds wise, that it might have been like, oh, this has got to go to Cannes.
Yeah. Yeah. There was no, I mean, we were making a film. So like, there is a chance it could have been fantastic. But,
I don't think that there was a chance it could have been fantastic and it wasn't.
Ryan's,
I think that
Ryan's
we didn't, saying, we weren't ambitious enough in the script and social commentary for it to be, you know what I mean? Like it was always going to be a fun little movie that we made, which and it is.
Right.
I still say 10% chance.
I would say lower than 10% chance.
From a movie that's titular character is a patio door.
I don't think you read the script, Maddie. You read the title.
Yeah, but it's like the scariest thing ever, leaving the patio door open.
Maddie, a lot of movies are called the scary thing.
The patio door is not a character.
He's not a character. It is the title, but he's not a character.
Hi, I'm Jessie Cruikshank.
Jessie Cruikshank.
I host the number one comedy podcast called Phone a Friend.
Girl. Let's phone a friend.
Not only do I break down the biggest stories in pop culture with guests like Dan Levy and members of NSYNC, I do it with my own personal boy band singing jingles throughout. Because it's my show.
It's your show, girl.
New episodes of Phone a Friend.
Yeah.
Drop Thursdays wherever you get your podcasts.
So work it, girl. Yeah, work it.
Okay, that's enough.
I'm a big fan of starting with a dark incident.
During the writing and production of the movie, we talked to several experts and we asked them for their advice. Gillian Flynn suggested starting the movie with something dark.
Because to me, that sets the tone. If you start with everything's great in a suspense movie, everyone's going to already know it's going to go wrong. And then they're just waiting impatiently, like, come on, come on.
And we did. We started with the audio from the party Ryan's character had ruined. Eduardo Sanchez suggested giving the towels more significance.
I felt that like the intro to this could be a little creepier, and yes. I felt the towels were like okay, if it's the demon, what, the demon threw towels? Like, it just, I'm saying, yeah. It's just, yeah, one of these, yeah, things where like it gets rid of the creepiness of it.
So we had them wrapping up a jar of olives to use in the martinis. And there were more suggestions along the way.
Can I play a clip for you?
Sure.
Yes.
You wrote the script and you gave it to Eduardo Sanchez, the director of the Blair Witch Project, who gave you notes. And one of the things he said about the monster was this.
You guys are in good shape. All because, right. You know, because you don't have anything... You know, there's no like, oh, his head gets ripped off and his arms crawl across, yes, by themselves. Yeah, or, you, yeah, know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing crazy here other than the you know, the makeup on the demon has to be fucking crazy. You know,
yeah,
what I'm saying?
It does. Yeah, that's got to look good.
So that is you lying to Eduardo Sanchez.
No, I don't think I was lying. I hate that you say that. Because in my mind, I was like, I think, A, we had makeup planned. We had like... eyes planned, and I was like fervently believing that we were gonna have to make that, and we were gonna be able to make it scary with the eyes. Like, I like the
you contact. Just thought the eyes were enough.
I thought the eyes were enough, so I don't think I'm lying. Yeah. I don't want to frame that I'm lying to Eduardo Sanchez, which is such a weird 60 minutes gotcha piece of journalism. You fucking hack. I wasn't lying. I believed that the eyes were enough in that moment.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, you're right, we do have to do that. And I thought, maybe naively, that we would have enough with like scary contacts and like movie magic to make it work.
Now, the contacts didn't fit Mark. He had a real hard time getting them in, but they did fit Maddie. For
I think,
some
okay, once again, I think they would have fit me. I couldn't get them in. Like, I think those.
Why are you attacking me?
I'm not. Because I'm saying that, like, I'm not attacking you. I think that.
I couldn't
get it. Maddie figured out how to get him in. I'm trying to just give Maddie a little bit more credit because she like was like, they were like made for Maddie's eyes.
They were not made for me at all. Yeah. I just went in there. I had taken an edible and hadn't told anyone about it. And I just put it right in my eye immediately. I slid it up in a crazy, it was extremely uncomfortable. It was something that someone shouldn't even be able, your brain shouldn't let you do that. Because it was so bad for you, so obviously. And I just did it. And that speaks to women's fortitude and strength and ability to tolerate bodily discomfort.
Which is exactly what I said when you got it in.
What'd you say? I can't remember.
I said, Maddie, I can't believe you did that so quickly. Actually, I can. This speaks to women's strength and No, I didn't say that.
It was one of the most satisfying moments of my life. It was a classic, like, I can get the pickle jar open. Yeah. Nope. You know what I mean? Like, I bet if I tried it, I could do it, and they can't. Yeah. And I was right. Yeah. It was awesome. And it was, if the contacts hadn't been so clearly designed to blind someone, then or cause grievous bodily harm, then I would have like made us put them in the movie somewhere else because they were cool.
Or if Mark hadn't had eye surgery so recently, maybe we would have like been pushing the envelope a little bit more. But we were worried about your eyes.
No, I'm telling you, it's like it was so obvious when you have it in your eye that there's it's not supposed to be in there. Like, it's not like, it wasn't a contact lens that you put in your eye. It was a piece of flexible plastic that you could jam into your eyelid and it would hold it there. Yeah. It was literally as if I had put a piece of 3D glasses in my eye socket, yeah, in front of my eye. It was dark.
Yeah.
It was dark in front of my eye because, yeah, it wasn't the lens. You know what I mean? It was insane.
Yeah.
Just to follow sort of the arc of the story from when you first pitched it to when you made it to when it was edited, your character, Ryan, it started as a film director?
That's right. No, like a writer-director, yeah.
Yeah, and then how did it end up?
Then it maybe became a business guy for a bit. Mm-hmm. He was like a business guy. He was like a venture capitalist or like sort of a...
Yeah, he was like a tech guy or something.
Guy,
we were
like
talking about like...
And then we changed that to just, we got rid of that to just sort of a guy. We don't know much about him other than he's...
We don't know.
Because a lot of it hinged on him like having this friend who was like, go stay at my place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Like a business partner.
Stay
like,
at my place.
He was because we turned him into like this, like a venture capitalist or somebody who was like, he had like botched a deal,
mm-hmm,
nearly botched a deal and embarrassed his partner. And his partner's like, just get out. I don't want you in the press. I don't want anything happening to you. And then we decided we didn't need either of those things, I guess.
Yeah.
And then Mark's character, the monster, did that character change from the pitch? The pitch was a very patient, calm, black-eyed monster with Mark's face. And then did that change between the pitch and the script and the shoot?
It didn't change from the pitch to the script. It was always going to be black-eyed guy, just me, right? And then
yes,
once we looked at the dailies, I got worried. I'll speak for myself that it was just...
It didn't
look
like
when
work.
We were looking
like
at my face and it just looked too much like a face, like a guy that had like things to do that day. like it was just a guy, you know, like,
yeah, it was a guy wearing a hoodie.
You couldn't really even clock the eyes. The eyes were like,
yeah,
inconsequential.
Yeah, the eyes were the least
inconsequential.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a murderer. It wasn't a monster.
It wasn't effective.
And then it's like, why is this guy murdering him?
Yeah. Yeah. It needed to have some sort of otherworldly deal going on because he was just like, it was just like a sketchy guy at the door, which is unsettling, but it didn't read that way. So we changed it to Ryan's face. And then it was done so well. Joe, like we did like a mock-up of just putting Ryan's face, put a mock-up of Ryan's face on my face. And it was like just 2D and it looked good. It was like Uncanny Valley, kind of weird. And then while we were in LA, we got a better photo of Ryan and sent that to Joe, and he was able to match it.
I think it looks
to where
really
it almost
good.
Looks like Ryan doubled himself.
Wait, but I also just want to say, back on my I didn't help. That was not my idea. I didn't even know it was going to be in until it was in the cut, and it was awesome, and it was the best idea. My idea was, and I quote, to make him red. Red colored.
And you wanted the people to be blue colored in sci-fi?
Yeah.
Those people be colored. But that was an idea before shooting. Was like on the table. It's like I could just also be my own double.
Mm.
So like it was something we were toying around with before we even started shooting. Like when we had all the contingency plans about like, what if Mark can't wear the contacts? Which, spoiler alert, he couldn't.
So what is the... Explain the ending of this movie.
Leave the keys with her?
I don't have a caretaker.
Yeah, you do. The person who takes care of the grounds or whatever. She gave me towels. She's here right now.
I don't know what you're saying. I don't have a caretaker. Are you sure everything's okay?
Then who is she?
The end of the movie is that, I guess, that his demons followed him.
It's open to interpretation, for sure.
But I think a supernatural being... who's like has his own face, rips him to shreds at the end of the movie.
I would say that he dies of drinking too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he kills himself.
Like he's at this place and he's like, I'm just gonna, I'm shameful. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great.
That's also a read.
Yeah, that's a great read. I think that so one of the things we were dealing with is that in order for us to sell Ryan's reaction of the initial attack is that what would make somebody not like run away? It was like it had to be in this otherworldly kind of feel of like, did I see this? What's going on? So that's why we kept going back to like, well, maybe it's his face, but it couldn't be like, because we were talking to Joe about making the monster like extreme. Like, because he could have like really like screwed with the image and made it look really, really, really scary. Two things. One, my reflection's in the window. So we had to match that. And two, Ryan has a really unsettled feel when he sees it. Like he's like, but it's not like, it's not like there's a bear at the door. You know, it's not like there's like a, so that was kind of informed like, and then he wakes up and he's like, what did I see? I got to get out of here. And like, I think that the what Maddie said is like, it's the booze is the monster. I think is great in the end.
So you've explained the ending or interpreted it. What's going on at the beginning? What is the audio we're hearing at the beginning?
Okay, so thank you.
All right. Gather around all ye who enter. Okay. Sorry to knock you off the mic.
Hey. He's ruining an event. He's ruining an event.
Hi.
And I think we all, the shorthand, or actually he's putting shit in a blender. He's turned it on. This is not the actual shit.
He's putting shit in a blender or he's shitting in the blender.
I think he's shitting in a blender.
The original thing that I think it was you that said this, Ryan. You had originally said he shits in a blender and then I don't know. I don't remember who actually said it. But we wanted something that was like so outlandish, but we knew that wasn't going to necessarily be on the nose. Like we weren't going to really describe it in the film, but we wanted to know the backstory so we could just like have this like really
Gillian Gates said that it should start with something so awful and dark.
The worst possible event.
Oh, he's going to the cabin because he did something really dark. And for some reason, we never had an idea we liked better than the darkest thing we could think of is pooing in a blender.
Yeah,
at a wedding.
That's insane.
which speaks to, I think, what makes us dark is that we want attention and for childishness and to the point of ruining a wedding. We didn't make it a sex crime. We didn't make it racism. We fear hamming it up too much drunk.
God, you know what? It's true. Mm. It's so true. It's like, because a lot of my cringiest like moments of life are like, you know, just like making a fool of myself by
being a fool in front of a group of people. But
yeah,
like,
not in the way
that you had any control over, like, I'm doing this on purpose. Like, to be a laughing stock.
Yeah.
Can you briefly explain how we got that audio?
So Ryan and I do a show on Sundays called The Sunday Service, and we got that audio by getting our audience to help us record this.
So I'm just gonna tell you a little bit of the backstory of the short film. At the beginning of the film, Ryan's character Hugo embarrasses himself at a wedding by shitting in a blender and turning it on. You don't really.
So we choreographed it in a way where we had half the audience. We had like a few people on the one side saying Hugo, Hugo.
Hugo, Hugo!
And then more people on the other side of the audience saying stop, stop. And then everyone joining in. And then I got to pretend I was like a conductor by making them do that. But then we had to tell them beforehand what they were actually reacting to, which was Ryan taking a shit in a blender. The amount of times I've said that
sentence.
I know.
But like, would it not make you get out of town if you woke up and had that memory and were told that that's what you did?
Also, you definitely ruined someone's wedding. You
ruined it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because no one's like, talking about anything else.
I guess you did kind of do a crime. Like, there's like obviously something in the legal code.
Yeah.
That you can't shit
in a
blender.
Maybe it hasn't been codified yet, you know, but
like,
it would.
There'd be something. A clever lawyer, a good lawyer would find a charge.
Yeah.
You know, like, but like, it would make you want to curl up and die and just leave.
Yeah.
But like, it's maybe not the clearest what's going on. I think it's clear that I like that it's a bit murky. I like that it's a bit murky and I like that it makes the audience go like, wait. I like that they kind of connected that like he was involved in whatever that memory was And then they get another little bit of information when he makes a phone call. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's as murky as a shit milkshake. Looking back on this movie immediately after finishing it, what are our roses and thorns? The things we like the most and the least about it.
The worst part, roses.
Rose is good, thorn is bad.
You might have better examples, but right now, my thorn is, and it's really frustrating because I really like it, is the end, the very, very end with the blood. And I still don't get it. Like, I feel like we could have found a more interesting, like, nuanced way to be scary at the end without the blood and without the, you know, just with like out that kind of, so that bothers me. The rose, I think, is Ryan waking up with the tapping and him coming out. I feel like that's quite scary.
For me, the thorn is the same exact moment, like the end of the blood. Cause it's also like, why would this necessarily be a slasher monster? You know, mm-hmm. My rose is that Ryan near shot. Think about it all the time. Mm.
It's a good shot. The what shot?
The Ryan in the mirror shot.
Oh,
Ryan's looking in the mirror, especially now that it's edited so the voicemail's in the back. It's just I found it very beautiful. Mm.
One rose. I love that my dear boy Woody was in this movie. It's a gorgeous thing. He just passed away recently, and he will always be forever in this movie because movies are forever. Cinema is forever.
Yeah.
This could end up in the Library of Congress one day. Mm-hmm. And Woody will be there.
Yeah. And it was a rose working with him.
Yeah.
And getting pissed out of my lap.
That is Woody's, like, he didn't care for other dogs, but he loved people. Mm-hmm. And so he's surrounded by people that were giving him a lot of attention. So that was really nice. Another rose, speaking of the mirror shot, I like that I have very dark under eyes since I was very young. Very dark, dark, gaunt, haunted eyes. And whenever I'm on set, they're like, let's get some concealer in here now. And I like that I've just my face is what my face is, and I really appreciated that for whatever that's worth as a rose.
Oh, a huge rose is our crew. I mean, they
were
insane pros, yeah, and so sweet.
Amazing.
And like we all had so much fun. And
yeah, I do want to say that this was incredibly rewarding. All the seasons have been rewarding, but the pressure cooker of having to make the film was so much, like, it was very intense, and I love that type of thing, and I learned so much, and thank you all for a really great time. We were so lucky to get so much great advice from our experts this season, and we followed it, mostly. So we asked a few of them what they thought of the final product. And I took it in stride, and it didn't hurt my feelings at all.
Guys, Gary Michael Schultz here. I just watched Close and Lock the Patio Door. I gotta say, you guys fucking did it. You made a short horror film. Congratulations. This is an exciting new entry into the Cabin in the Woods subgenre. Ryan, the camera loves you. You truly have a face for horror, my friend. My only real critique is more blood. Always more blood. R.I.P. Woody.
Hey guys, Zach here. Congratulations on making your first horror film. What an incredible achievement. It was spooky. It was creepy. It was very well directed. So congratulations to all of you. And you did it. You ruined patio doors. No one will ever look at a patio door the same way after seeing your film, and that is one of the true marks of a horror film, so congratulations.
Hello, Let's Make a Horror. This is Adam Stein. I haven't listened to Zach's feedback yet. I wanted to give you my thoughts before I listen to his. But I'm really impressed. You all did a fantastic job with this film. The production design, the cinematography, the editing, and the directing were all beautifully done. I did have a little bit of feedback here and there. Overall, I think there could be trims in the movie. I think having an 11 and change short film is a little bit difficult for programming festivals And even just getting industry people to watch it. The biggest note I have has to do with why he starts drinking, because I think in that first half, you do such a great job showing that he isn't drinking, that he's resisting it. Why does he snap?
You did ask for some feedback, and so I'm willing to give it to you. I do think there's one area of improvement that, you know, when you try and put in a theme into your film, like you did with the alcoholism, which I think worked really well throughout the whole beginning of the film, and you start to really tie the connection between his alcoholism and the monster that's trying to get in, I think you have a structural problem. I think right now you have him break and start drinking, and then he sees the monster at the door and is struggling to close the door, but he beats it. He's able to close the door, which is a bit confusing because we just saw him, you know, have the cardinal sin of actually drinking. So I think if you move the shots of him drinking the alcohol to after he is able to close the door, then your narrative will be a bit cleaner. You'll have a narrative where he's struggling even more. The monster comes to the door. He's able to close the door, but the experience was too terrifying that he has to break down then at that moment and drink. And once he does, the next scene, of course, the monster gets in. Congratulations on the film, and can't wait to see what other genres you guys do next.
So I just listened to Zach's feedback, and I think Zach's idea is totally brilliant, and you should definitely try that.
Like, I guess the one thing that we ask after every season of this is, what now?
Well, I gave my two cents about the project itself, what I would like to do.
I'm retired from the genre.
Yeah, Maddie's retired from horror. Ryan, what do you think about the project?
I think it could apply to a festival that doesn't require money to apply for.
Oh, great. Yeah. Yeah. No, we could put it in some festivals.
Like, I think there's lots of horror festivals, you know, and like.
True.
I think it can.
It would be really, really fun to see it on the big screen in front of people at a screening.
And for the podcast, I'm ready to go out of genre. Yeah. I'm ready to go, like, let's make a building.
This is what I'm thinking. So every year we do this project that we actually get it done. So what's something I would like to get done? Do you know what I mean? Let's make a fiscal return.
Yeah, let's
you know
make what I mean?
Let's get a let's make a patent.
Let's make a profitable quarter.
Let's make a climate change solution.
Let's make a jet ski.
So at the start of the season, we had a number of things we wanted to accomplish. We wanted to make a horror film that we wrote, directed, and starred in. And we wanted it to be genuinely scary. So did we accomplish that? Just point blank, do you think this was a scary movie?
Don't know.
Is that what we set out to do? A scary movie?
Yeah, that's what we really try to do. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's scary. I think it's awesome. I don't think it's scary.
I think it's unsettling. I think it's probably more on the unsettling side of things. I think there are some creepy moments.
Yeah.
But I can't answer that. I would like to just see what 100 people say and then get the percentage.
The way you can tell a scary movie is watch it with people within daylight. And are you still scared? And I think that if you watch this movie in daylight with friends, you're not.
You're probably
smiling.
Which is awesome. Yeah. I think that every single time we do this, we always are like, oh, if we had made something funny. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, because I know that's the challenge, but I'm always just like, I would be down to let's make a sitcom. Like, why?
Oh, yeah, let's get the gloves off.
It's not like comedy isn't vulnerable just because we're good at it. Yeah. We've never done it.
Yeah.
Properly.
I think this movie
would be scary if you watched it on a laptop in a cabin by yourself. I think it'd be very scary to watch it.
That's generous.
But that's also like, you know, creating an environment in which to experience something.
It'd be like super scary if you had been kidnapped.
Yeah, if this is scary, if you were, if you're like, in a plastic, in your life a crashing plane. Yeah. It's the last thing you could ever see with your life.
Now, you're joking, but it might take you out of that. You might be like, this is nice.
This is nice.
Yeah.
I agree. But also, I do think you would close the patio door and think about that. So that's something.
I think after you'd be like, oh, is my patio door locked?
Mm-hmm. But ultimately, if you want a yes or no answer, is this scary? I think we failed. I think we failed this season. The season is a failure. Is that what you want to hear? We failed.
So that's it. Did we succeed at making a short horror film? Yes. Was it scary? It's debatable. But how about this? You tell us. You can find this movie on YouTube. There's a link in the episode description. Leave a comment and let us know. Did we make a scary movie? Yes or no? Not, is the acting good? Not, I want to stay at that cabin. What's the location? Not, are we hotties? We know we are. Ugh. Get it all the time. Just, is it scary? I want to thank you all for listening and following along as we explored the darkest parts of our psyches. Maybe it will inspire you to create something of your own. Or maybe we made new horror fans out of some of you. I mean, we didn't with Maddie. And so, farewell. But hopefully we'll join you again.
From beyond the grave.
Are you crying?
No.
Let's Make a Horror is a production of CBC Podcasts and Kelly and Kelly, created by Kelly and Kelly, hosted by Mark Chavez, Ryan Beal, and Maddie Kelly. This episode was written and produced by Dave Shumka and Chris Kelly. For Kelly and Kelly, the executive producers are Lauren Berkovich and Pat Kelly. Associate producer, Rebecca Pang. For CBC, our artwork is by Ben Shannon. Coordinating producer, Anna Ashite. Video producer, Evan Agard and Corey Schaefer. Cross-promotion producer, Amanda Cox. Senior producer, Tanya Springer. Publicists, Meryl Cooper and Joanna Landsberg. Senior producer, Jeff Turner. Executive producers, Cecil Fernandez and Chris Oak. Director of CBC Podcasts, Arif Narani. Legal by Melissa Raymond. Our theme song is by Chris Kelly.
What happened? How did you get here?
They got me.
Who?
Them.
Who?
For hanging.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Ryan, Maddie?
Hi.
It was you? It was you this whole time?
Who else would it be?
Yeah, we're babysitting Cosmo. We told you that. We tried to call you.
Wait, that was you that called?
Yeah, I called you, but your phone was all fricked up.
Yeah, your phone's crazy.
I think it was too many messages. I think your creditors are all over you again.
It doesn't matter. I'm just glad that it's you and not some scary witches. Wait a minute. What was that witch calling out to me sound?
Okay, it's really rude. I'm under the weather.
Oh, I'm so thankful it was you this whole time. Oh.
Yeah, it's okay. We got you.
You guys want to go to dinner?
Yeah, let's go get some dinner. But wait, Mark, who's that behind you?
What?
Uh-oh.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.